Quinn Eiler open, high, arcing rainbow three, just a hair short. Feisner the rebound for Beloit. The putback up and good. A great rebound and turnaround putback by Feisner, and Beloit within 10.
One of the highlights last night for the Beloit boys basketball team, but not a lot of offense. Beloit scoring just 27, a season low, as they lose in a boys-only game last night at Sacred Heart, 62-27. Sacred Heart certainly looked the part of maybe the best team in the North Central Activity Association. Wyatt Brockman led the way with 12 for Beloit. Bryce Feisner with 8. He was our NCKSSports.com athlete of the game. The block of the game for HR Block and Beloit went to Logan Arrowsmith, picking up a charge. And doing a great job defensively to pick up that charge and transition. And our Cunningham telephone cable connection of the game was Noah Gerstner, Bryce Beiser. A nice pass against a double team, lobbing it in, and Beiser went up and caught it. And then there was a foul called there. Beloit now 4-7 on the season, 3-3 in league play, and turned the ball over 18 times and shot just, I think it was 26% from the floor and 3 of 21 from 3. So we've talked about before, Beloit's going to have his chance to win games like that. They're going to have to shoot the ball well, especially from three. They did not last night. And there's something about that gym the last couple of years. Last year when Beloit, remember, was 21-3, right? Mm-hmm. Loaded with seniors. They scored 32 points at Sacred Heart last year and couldn't buy a bucket. So maybe there's just something about the gym right now. I don't know. But anyway, Beloit loses, but they'll play again tonight at Ellsworth, which we'll have on the radio and also on our live video stream as well. So you can check all of that out. And we'll go through all the whole schedule and everything else here in a little bit. So any other games last night in high school basketball? Was that it?
No, that was it. Yeah, everything else was postponed.
So Sacred Heart won 62-27. Boys play a no girls game due to COVID-19 quarantines for Sacred Heart girls. And the Beloit girls won't play again tonight either because Ellsworth girls are in quarantine. So it seems like Beloit's kind of jinxed in regards to the opponents and when they play them, where the boys have been able to play their games. All right, District Wrestling Dusty is today, and it's a new postseason format for wrestling due to COVID-19 and what the state is doing. Basically, you have three qualifying tournaments. You have districts, and you have regionals, and then you have sub-state, and then eventually you get the state, hopefully out at Hayes in 3-2-1A. We'll have updates for all those tournaments over the next few weekends. Our coverage will begin with reports about 12:30 tomorrow from the Beloit District Wrestling Tournament. The tournament itself will start at noon, probably go to maybe 4 or 5 o'clock. Who knows how long it goes, but as long as it goes, we will have updates every half hour, courtesy of our sponsors who make all of that possible, and we thank them very much for that. And Dusty, this is the first leg of qualifying for state, and you're going to earn it when you get to state, no doubt.
Oh, there's no question about that. And I think the coaches understand that it's obviously different, and they have to send their kids into a different format this year. But, we also understand that when you have 16 wrestlers at state and only 8 this year, 16 normally.
Yeah, a little
and
tougher.
Only 8 this year, that you're going to have some tough brackets when you get to sub-state. And there's going to be some really good wrestlers that are left home this year from the actual state tournament in Hayes. But again, it is a different year that we're living in and a different situation. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how all the wrestlers can do. I do want to note we do have one wrestler competing from Smith Center. Sierra Lanning is competing in the girls' district tournament in Hoisington, which starts this afternoon. So we'll keep an eye on Sierra Lanning as well from Smith Center. But as far as the boys' tournament, again, as you said, it starts tomorrow at noon. We'll have all of our area teams are competing there. Beloit has a good group of athletes that are competing, 11 total competing for the Trojans. And Tate Kittle at 160, Hunter Prohaska 170, Brennan Walker at 182, and Braden Burks at 195 have been their best wrestlers this season. And as we'll hear from Coach Nemchek later, they've all got some losses, but they're turning in some good years here this year. Also, Rock Hills will have 4 wrestlers that will be competing and being coached by those Beloit coaches. They usually compete with Beloit during the season, but when you get to the postseason, they have to be with their own school, which is Rock Hills. So that's a look at them. Smith Center has 10 total athletes competing this weekend on Saturday at the district tournament to get things started in the postseason. Bentley Montgomery is their lone ranked wrestler at 126 pounds. And then Osborne will just have the one wrestler competing, Chris Heiss, at 170 pounds. And then also from the area of Lincoln with 3 wrestlers. And then Saturday, Sylvan Lucas has 5 wrestlers on their roster, which includes defending state champion Trey Barrientes at 285 pounds, who's undefeated this year. Somehow ranked number 2 in the 3-2-1A rankings as the defending state champion and undefeated wrestler. But he'll have a chance to prove that wrong and try to win another title this year. So those are the wrestlers that are competing. All the information that you need about the tournaments can be found at NCKSSports.com. We'll have results that are posted there on those links as well for district wrestling starting tomorrow.
All right, let's hear from some of the coaches. Andy Nemchek feeling good, the head coach of the Beloit wrestling team, as his team heads into districts tomorrow, hosting it in Beloit.
I think we're very confident. There's some awfully tough weight classes that we're facing. You know, some of our best kids, those weight classes are loaded this year. And our kids have been beat a time or two. All of them have suffered 3-4 losses or more. And we know coming into this postseason that we're going to have to be our very best to keep advancing every week. And every week is going to be tougher and tougher. And to get to the state tournament this year is going to be exceptionally tough.
And Brock Hutchison, head coach of the Smith Center wrestling team, he well aware that this is going to be a challenge, and it'll be interesting with the new postseason format.
The cool thing is that it is it's going to be a three-tournament qualifying system where you go to the districts, go to regionals, and then you have sub-state. It just so happens that we're out west here. We're in pretty deep, you know, competition. So I don't really care where you go, but those districts are all going to come back together at some point. You know, this is it. This is do or die, and hopefully we perform pretty well.
And Osborne wrestling coach Nate Brown on the postseason action beginning tomorrow.
You always want to go to the tournaments and play. So, I mean, that's kind of, I guess, how you approach it. And boy, this one, that each tournament's going to have a lot more meaning because it means you get to go the next week. So, you know, this first round is really, it's almost like a formality. There's going to be a couple kids maybe left home, I guess, after this first round, cuts their season short. But, and then from there on out, it's going to, the next round will be a little tougher. No, we've seen most of these teams here in the first two rounds, so we've met a lot of these kids, and we should set pretty well.
Normally, postseason wouldn't start for a couple of weeks where it'd be regionals and then state. Instead, we're starting, and then, of course, they didn't get to wrestle very much there in December, so it does seem like the sport of wrestling has kind of gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to the COVID-19 and the plan by Keisha this year.
Yeah, and just the limited practice time right over the break for only not even a full month of wrestling before you started postseason. So it was, but again, none of these coaches are going to complain about that. They're going to get their kids ready, and they are ready. And I feel like they've, just like a lot of people right this year, we have the opportunity to get on the mats and wrestle. No matter how that happens, we've got this chance, and postseason starts today for the girls, tomorrow for the boys, and roll into it and see where the cards fall.
Best of luck to our area wrestlers competing. Once again, district wrestling updates and reports from the tournament. And also, there'll be live video stream via nckssports.com with the Beloit Trojan channel. One stream will be set up on mat one, another on mat two. There's also the team wrestling site that you can go to find out who's going to wrestle when and on what mats. And then we'll also update you on the radio as well every half hour beginning at 12:30 tomorrow for the district wrestling over at Beloit. And once again, best of luck to those wrestlers so they can move on to the next round, which will be regionals, which would be next Friday. And then after that, it's sub-state on Saturday, February 20th. And then state is just a one-day tournament out in Hayes this year. Usually state's 2 days. It'll be one day out at Hayes 3-2-1A on the 27th. Anything else you want to add about the wrestling aspect?
No, covered it.
All right, so we move on now to high school hoops for tonight. We have Lakeside at Rock Hills this evening. But do you want to go through the schedule first?
Yeah, we'll go with the rest of the games of Lakeside at Rock Hills on Z96.3. The other games that are in the area, Osborne at Natoma, Sylvan Lucas at Thunder Ridge, Pike Valley at Lincoln, and Chase at Southern Cloud in the Northern Plains League. And then the Mid-Continent League, Smith Center hosting TMP Marion. And Concordia's at Clay Center tonight in the NCKL. So let's look at the schedule for this evening outside of what we'll have on the radio and video.
Sacred Heart is supposed to play Minneapolis tonight. It would have been a big boys game, but that's been postponed due to COVID within Minneapolis's program. All the schedules are available to you at nckssports.com. Plus, you can read about the latest athlete of the week, a young man from Thunder Ridge getting the honor this week. All right, high school hoops tonight on the radio. It is Lakeside at Rock Hills on Z96.3 Lake. Does still have the call. Also get that free app so you can listen. And you can also listen online, kdcountry94.com. Travis Eberle, head coach of the Lakeside Lady Knights. Rock Hills, a team that has certainly improved from a year ago.
Jamie's doing a really good job with them girls. You know, they hustle and they play a lot of man, they press. For us to be successful, we have to take care of the basketball. And that showed, you know, Friday against Osborne, you know, we just too many mistakes. So I feel if we do our job and take care of the ball and play good defense, you know, they got a couple girls that can score, the Lemke girl and, you know, Lauren Welchel, she's a good athlete. You know, we just got to, you know, take away their key players.
And Rock Hills girls head coach Jamie Harvey, thoughts on Lakeside?
They're always tough. Always, they've had a good team here for several years now. We have to prepare just like we've been preparing for everybody else, and And if we come out and play like we get against Sylvan, play that good a defense against a good team, okay, we should be right there with them, and it may be a battle to the end.
Lake Cedar Rock Hills, that's the girls' game around 6 o'clock tonight on Z96.3 Lake. Then the nightcap, the boys' varsity game. Lakeside and Mankato take on the Grizzlies. Drew Dusky, head coach of the Knights, expecting a tough battle, as always, with Rock Hills, expects their best shot.
Coach Miner's going to have them ready to go. You know, they're coming off of two tough losses. And just talking with him, you know, he thought they're playing well. They're just not finishing games or picking up wins. And I know they're going to be ready to play. It's always been a good game the last 3 or 4 years between us and Rock Hills. And that's what I've, you know, tried to express to our boys. You know, it's going to be a dogfight. You know, it's going to be four quarters of a close game. And I think it's going to come down to who plays better defense and who does a good job rebounding and limits their mistakes.
Rock Hills boys head coach Nick Meisner, Lakeside is a difficult matchup.
Bunch of shooters. We got to keep the Cunningham kid at bay. And you got the two Schoen boys that, you know, they can score. And then Everly down low, which he's always a force to try and handle down there. So we're going to have to be on our toes defensively. I don't know what they'll throw at us. It seems like every team we've played this year is going man, and we're getting very comfortable with it.
So Lakeside Rock Hills tonight, and Dusty's quick thoughts as he has the games on the radio tonight from Mankato on Z96.3 The Lake.
Yeah, girls' game, looking like Coach Harvey talked about, could be a fight to the end there and seeing who can win this one. Again, Lakeside, you're talking about a team that's only played four games, both girls and boys, so they haven't had as many opportunities to get out there and as many opportunities with their full team together, and now they take another week off since they played last week against Osborne. So it's just been kind of a sporadic season, obviously, for a lot of teams, but Lakeside is probably in our area at the forefront of that, and so they've got to come out. They came out well against Osborne last week, and we'll see what they can do against Rock Hills here tonight. Expect a very close game. And then the boys' games are always, seems like, very close and very highly contested, and last year was a 1-point overtime win for Lakeside. I'm expecting a close game again this year, maybe a little bit lower scoring than the 68-67 last year. Both of these teams are not scoring at the same clips, but they're playing very good defense. Rock Hill is playing really good defense this year, so be interesting to see how that one comes out on the boys' side. But again, we're talking about two games that on paper should be very, very close and should be very intriguing here tonight in Mankato.
Tonight on Katy Country 94, boys' game only. There'll be a JV at 4:30 at Ellsworth. C team for two quarters, about 5:45. And then varsity will start around 6:30, maybe 6:45, because they're having senior recognition at Ellsworth this evening. We'll have the boys' game on the radio. All those games I just referred to will be live video stream at ncksports.com, via the Boyd Trojan channel. Ryan Eilert, his team, playing last night, losing to Sacred Heart. They turn around and play Ellsworth, a team they beat on January the 12th, 62-54. It was Beloit's first win of the year, Ellsworth's first loss, but Ellsworth missing five players in that game that didn't make the trip due to quarantines, including their best player in Avery Haxton. They should be at full strength going into the game tonight down at Ellsworth, and Ryan Eilert knows that they will get Ellsworth's best shot here in the rematch.
Once again, you've got a senior-heavy team that has got a lot of experience, and, you know, the Haxton kid didn't play the first game, and to me, he's their court leader, and so they've got a good group, and what happened that first game, you can almost throw it out the window, because when you take away a key guy off their team and you take Owen off our team, all of a sudden the game's different. And so for us, it's about coming out and keeping our intensity up and making sure that we don't hang our heads if something goes wrong, and we celebrate the good plays and just go out and see what happens.
Ellsworth starts five seniors tonight now that they'll be at full strength. They have eight seniors on the roster. Beloit has no seniors. Beloit starts two juniors, a sophomore, and two freshmen now that Owen Eilert's out with the injury for the rest of the year. Have no seniors on the roster. Last night, Sacred Heart started four seniors and a junior. So these matchups are getting tougher for Beloit as we go in deeper into the league season. And there's really no easy game the rest of the way. In Republic County, favorable by matchup for Beloit. They caught Ellsworth when they were shorthanded, came to Beloit on January the 12th. But they still got to play Sacred Heart again, Beloit does. They play Southeast again. They play Ellsworth tonight. They got to play Minneapolis again. Those are all really, really good teams. Ellsworth comes in a record of 7-3. They nearly knocked off Hoisington, a very good team in Class 3A, but they did lose by 36 at Southeast on Friday and then beat Plainville on Monday by 21. So Ellsworth 7-3, Beloit 4-7, a rematch of a game, but I've played January 12th, but much different because I remember we talked about this. I said, you know, Beloit going to Ellsworth, maybe Beloit will be the one shorthanded because Ellsworth shorthanded coming to Beloit, and I was thinking COVID quarantines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that way, except it's not the quarantine for Beloit. It's Owen Eilert broke his finger, and he's out for the rest of the year. That's their second leading scorer. So Beloit's shorthanded, and Ellsworth now at full strength after Ellsworth was extremely shorthanded, and Beloit was at full strength. So you got
goes
that kind
around,
of
comes
yeah,
around.
Well, I guess if you believe in that, yeah, and that's what's you got tonight. Now, Beloit can win the game. Don't get me wrong, they can. But they have to make threes. They have to shoot the ball a lot better than they did last night. And I don't think Ellsworth is as good defensively as Sacred Heart, but Ellsworth's still a really good team. And the Haxton kid is going to be a very difficult matchup for Beloit this evening. He can shoot outside. He can take it inside. He can post. He's got a mid-range J. He's very crafty. He's a left-hander. So be a challenge tonight for Beloit, and we'll see how they bounce back after a tough loss last night. Beloit at Ellsworth varsity around 6:30 tonight on KD Country 94 on KDCountry94.com. Today is Friday. Today is also, believe it or not, this is no joke, today is National Wear Red Day.
Nice.
And it's also Red Friday.
Yeah.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you know what Red Friday means, right? You wear red. And I'm not. I'm wearing orange.
I'm wearing the Royals thing.
I'm wearing orange because I got games to call tonight with Beloit. I am a parent of a kid that's on the high school team as well. That's full disclosure there. I don't usually do that, but when it's just a boys' game, I will do that from time to time. And so it's Super Bowl 55 coming up on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm getting more and more confident as we get closer to the game, which concerns me when I get confident like that. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock, the Road to Tampa special preview show. 3 o'clock on Sunday on Z96.3 Lake is the pregame show. And then 5:30 around there will be the kickoff, Super Bowl 55 in Tampa between the Buccaneers and the Chiefs. The Chiefs anywhere from a 3 to 3.5 point favorite if you care about those things. Lots of things that we want to cover here today on the Sports Ticket to get you ready for Super Bowl 55. Let's start from the Bucs perspective, and that is probably the biggest concern most people have with the Chiefs matchup against the Buccaneers is the Chiefs offensive line with four backups from based on what they had to start the season, a backup left tackle, a backup right tackle, no Schwartz, no Eric Fisher, going up against the Bucs defensive front four that can get pressure without blitzing. And Bruce Arians, head coach of the Buccaneers, certainly aware of the advantage of getting pressure with just four guys.
Well, yeah, when you're rushing four, you know, you got many more defenders back there, whether it's man or zone, and you can double people and do a lot of things. When you start to have to rush five or start blitzing, you're starting to get into more either fire zone defense or man coverage, and you don't want to single these guys that often. So if you can just do it with four, yeah, it's a blessing.
Do you know how many times the Buccaneers blitzed in the second half against the Chiefs the last time they played? And they're a team that loves the blitz. You know how many times they blitz in the second half against Mahomes?
None.
One time.
Once. I was
one
like
time.
Once the most, I think.
One time. Yeah. They got absolutely torched in the first half with Tyreek Hill against Carlton Davis, as we know. 269 yards receiving, 200 some in the first quarter. Chiefs are up early 17-0. It'll be a different defensive philosophy, I can assure you. And if it isn't, then the Bucs are just not very smart. And Todd Bowles is a really good defensive coordinator, no doubt about it. And Andy Reid, certainly aware of Todd Bowles. He's coached with Todd Bowles before. You know, there's probably not going to be, like, major surprises here for either side, especially since they saw each other early in the year. Coaches familiar with one another, whether they be with different teams like Steve Spagnuolo when he was with the Giants and the Saints and Rams and all that. Andy Reid, certainly well aware of that Bucs defensive front.
It's one of the best defensive lines that we'll be facing this year. And so we know and respect them a lot, and we know that we're going to have to play very well. And my guys, they've been practicing hard the last couple of weeks here and trying to make sure that their technique and fundamentals are proper for playing against that group. And listen, we're not the prettiest bunch on the offensive line, but I've got scrappy guys, and they'll figure out how to do it well.
The Chiefs have 2 weeks to prepare. Do you know what Andy Reid's record is with Patrick Mahomes as starting quarterback when the Chiefs have 2 weeks to prepare?
It's something and 0, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah. It's 10-0.
I didn't know how many games it was, but
10-0. Also, this is the 14th time you've had a rematch in the Super Bowl of a game played in the regular season. Do you know what the record is for the team that beat the other team in the regular season in the rematch in the Super Bowl? There have been 13
times. 13-4. I'm going to say 9-4.
6-7.
Really?
6-7. You know what the AFC's record is in that situation where an AFC team played the team in the regular season from the NFC and then matched up again? in the Super Bowl after beating that NFC team. You know what the AFC's record is in a rematch like that?
It's not good.
It's not. It's 0-4.
0-4.
Never happened.
Okay.
So the Chiefs could change something right there. So something's got to give here.
Yeah.
Mahomes and Reed's streak will end with wins with 2 weeks to prepare, or that other one will go down the tubes. I think it'll be the other one myself. So the biggest concern probably is the pass rush of Tampa Bay. More on that in a moment. Eric Bieniemy, who has been passed over again for head coaching jobs, why we can't quite figure out. He says it's all about having the right focus for the Super Bowl on Sunday.
One of the biggest things is just making sure that we don't take this opportunity for granted. One thing that, in preparing, you just want to make sure that we're continuing to eliminate the distractions. We want to make sure that our guys are focused on the daily task. We want to make sure that we're on the same page and that we're over-communicating with clarity. Then on top of that, we get our guys to come out and perform to be at their best. So far, so good. Our guys have maintained their focus. They've done a heck of a job throughout the course of the week. Going into this week, they're ready. They're excited about the challenge. And I tell you another thing, we just need to make sure that we're doing an outstanding job protecting the football. With all that said, as far as us taking care of our business, but on top of that, we got to take care of the football to give ourselves a chance.
I totally agree. I mean, Eric Bieniemy is more than ready to be a head coach in this league and highly respected, and he says the right things, and he's absolutely right. We take care of our business, we'll be fine. He's right. I don't see any way the Bucs win this game without forcing a turnover or two.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it. I mean, the Chiefs are the better team. Contrary to what Ryan Clark wants to say, which I think ESPN's just making up stuff to try to get people to think that the Bucs, will win this game. Because you really talk to people who know stuff, and they're like, I don't see how the Chiefs really lose this game unless they beat themselves. Because the Bucs are not the better football team.
No.
They're not. They haven't been all year. The Chiefs have been the best team all year long in the entire National Football League. There's no doubt about that. You can sit and go, well, they only won by 6 or 7. Doesn't matter. 14-1 was a record. Don't count the last one or count it. 14-2, still the best record in the National Football League. The Bucs lost 5 times, twice to the Saints, and got smoked twice in those games, but did get the payback in the playoffs when it mattered the most. No doubt about that. So, of course, the focus by many in the national media, because that's the easy thing to do. We wouldn't want to do the hard thing. We want to do the easy thing, and that's focus on it's quarterback versus quarterback. I didn't know that Brady plays defense and Mahomes plays defense, but apparently they do. It's Brady versus Mahomes, as we know, and it is fun banter to figure out, this 43-year-old goat versus the kid goat in Patrick Mahomes, who's 25. And Tom Brady has seen Mahomes excel and develop and just marvels about Mahomes' abilities.
I'm just so impressed with Pat as obviously a young player, but just,
Patrick.
His there's one thing about the physical skill, but also how he endearing he is to his teammates. I could see there's a special quality about him that attracts the teammates to him. And he's a great leader, has great charisma. He just has everything it takes. And he's an exceptional player, obviously, but he looks to be an exceptional teammate. And the times that I've got to spend with him, he's got a maturity beyond his years, and he's going to be a great player in the NFL for a long time.
Tom, his name's Patrick. You will be getting some kind of communication, whether it be a text, an email, a tweet, an Instagram, I don't know, from Patrick's mom, letting you know that Tommy boy, hey, Tommy, his name is Patrick, not Pat. You got that, Tommy? Good. I want to make myself clear. I want to defend Mahomes and his real name. Mom didn't like it when some people on pregame shows
though,
were talking
Andy
about.
Andy Reid will say Pat sometimes
I know.
In his press conferences. You know,
would
and
too,
it's like,
yeah.
I wonder what Mom thinks when the head coach calls him Pat.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So there you go. There's a slight Patrick Mahomes. Tom doesn't even know your real name. Travis Kelce was asked about facing Brady in the Super Bowl. Of course, Kelce won't be playing on the other side of the ball against Brady when he's on the field, but Kelce was asked the question nonetheless.
Well, I mean, when you're going up against a great quarterback like Tom Brady is, and how legendary he's been in games like this, you just have to be able to control what you can control, and that's what we do on the offensive side of the ball. We preach, situational football, taking care of the football, winning the turnover over battle. Things like that are things that we can control as an offense. And you know what? Going up against a high-powered offense like that, that's the That's the key, is you just got to make sure you're putting up 6 points more than you're putting up three. And but at the end of the day, putting points on the board so that, you know, you give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter.
Steve Spagnuolo's faced Tom Brady multiple times. He's had success against Tom Brady, beat him in a Super Bowl head-to-head when the Patriots are 18-0. Of course, beat the Bucs, forced four straight three and outs to start the game in week 12. And then Brady threw two really bad interceptions, but the Chiefs didn't take advantage in scoring points off those interceptions, or the Chiefs could have blown the Bucs out the first time around in week 12 down in Tampa. Here's Spags on the tough part of facing Tom Brady.
That's always the challenge when you go against what I call a cerebral quarterback, and we know Tom is like that. He has total control. He gets him out there in time to change things. We're going to have to be really good on the back end, not to show him things, or as we say, don't let him read our mail, because if he can read our mail, he knows exactly what to do. You know, you can only do as much as your players allow. Part of that is because you have trust in the guys that you can do something on the sideline and trust that they're going to get it done, because that's not always easy. I mean, a lot of coaches, myself included, don't like to run anything on game day that you haven't practiced. Sometimes you have to, and we may have to do that in this game, but we're going against one of the best. I mean, a guy that can change anything at any time, so we just got to hopefully make a few more plays than they do.
You know, Brady, this might be his last chance at a Super Bowl victory, so his focus will be super, super laser-focused, just like Mahomes. Speaking of Mahomes, not taking the Super Bowl for granted. You know, Chiefs have made it to back-to-back Super Bowls, and suddenly Chiefs fans think it's an entitlement. Some do. It's kind of like when the Royals suddenly made the World Series, made it back. It's like, yeah, this is what we do. No, it's not what we do.
No.
You know, Chiefs hadn't even won a Super Bowl in 50 years until last year. Now they're trying to run it back, trying to be the eighth team in NFL history to go back-to-back. Last team to do that was the Patriots in 03 and 04, and their quarterback was Tom Brady, and he got the repeat championship with the Patriots against Andy Reid and the Eagles. So we're hoping Andy will maybe believe in karma, as we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Comes all the way around, and Andy gets his back-to-back Super Bowls against Tom Brady. But Mahomes not taking this Super Bowl appearance thing for granted.
Yeah, I mean, you never know if you're going to make it back here. I mean, we preach that to each other, I mean, every single day. I mean, obviously we're here for the second straight year, but you never know if you'll get another opportunity to be in this game. And so that's a huge deal, and we're going to try to really not take any day for granted and prepare ourselves to be the best that we can be on Super Bowl Sunday.
Both teams have had 2 weeks to prepare. Both teams, for the most part, relatively healthy in regards to guys that were nicked up. They'll be ready to go. We'll go through that injury report in a little bit. So this is the final game of the year. There's nothing to hold back. Both teams are going to go hard for 60 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think the approach going into the game, I think the one thing you have to understand is that the game, it's never going to be over. Knowing the two teams that are playing, neither team's going to give up until that clock hits zero and the score is the score. And so I think during the game, just knowing that you're going to have to battle to the very end of the game is something that you have to understand going into this one.
So, Patrick, what are the keys against this Bucs defense?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is going to be me just getting the ball out of my hands, getting it to the playmakers that I have around me. They have a really good defense, really good defensive line, linebackers, DBs, kind of the whole deal. And so for me, just trying to make positive plays and not making negative ones, and relying on the guys around me to make plays whenever the critical times arise.
We talk about that Buccaneer defense. It is very good, but it's not the 1985 Bears, okay? Let's don't make any mistake
not
about that.
Not the 2002 Buccaneers.
It's
either.
Not even the 2002 Buccaneers. You're absolutely right about
their own
that.
Best defense,
I mean, they
ever
gave up over 300 yards passing to Tyler Heinicke.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers moved the ball up and down the field. They just didn't, take care of things. They did get the four turnovers against the Saints, but a couple were really gift turnovers by Drew Brees because they knew they'd have to defend the whole field. So I still am not sold that the Bucs defense is all that. I think it's good. I don't think it's great. But then again, is there any defense in the league anymore that's great the way the league plays the game and it's all the advantages to the offense? Here's Travis Kelce, his thoughts on the Bucs defense.
What Bowles does, the defensive coordinator for the Bucs, I think what he does a great job of is mixing up the coverages. And hats off to the defense, the men that they have over there on the defensive side of the ball, for being able to understand the intentions of the play caller, because they do understand the defense, knowing the variety of coverages that Bowles can dial up. And I think that, going into this game, you just got to be prepared for everything.
What'll be really interesting about this contest is that there's so much talk about the Chiefs focusing on dynasty and legacy and going back-to-back. Will they lose Well, they get caught up in that and lose a little bit of focus on the actual game on the field. And Travis Kelce says, no, the focus on the game.
Worry about that feeling if we get the opportunity to, you know, actually win this game. I think it's right now I'm just focused on the now. I'm not really focused on the past or the future. I think it's really just the mentality of taking advantage of the hour, the minute and the day, the hour, the rep, the whatever we're doing in this building to get ready for Sunday. I think that's the main focus. Nobody's really thinking about the legacy or what it would mean. Everybody's just fired up to get out there on Sunday and do our best.
Tyrann Mathieu is the leader of the defense, the Honey Badger, and he flat out is absolutely the most important player on the defense for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he was asked about running it back this year and said the team bought in. They bought in and they embraced run it back, and now they're one game away from accomplishing that.
You know, everything we do is about the team, man. You know, how can we, you know, lift the people around us? You know, how can we be better as individuals, and, you know, how we can make, you know, life better for our teammates around us? And, you know, obviously everybody have dreams of playing this game. These games aren't always promised. I think we're grateful. You know, we're fortunate to be able to be back in this position. You know, and we do have some motivation knowing that, you know, it's a lot of young guys on our team. It's a lot of new faces on our team. A lot of guys who were injured last year who didn't play in this game. And so, you know, it means a lot to those guys. This is their first one. You know, Juan Thornhill, I mean, he's just so excited because this is his first game, man. This is his first time playing the Super Bowl. So, you know, it means a lot to not only them, but it means a lot to us as well to kind of make sure that those guys are able to kind of win this game and, you know, have that same feeling that we had last year.
Okay, so a lot of talk about the Chiefs' dynasty legacy. Remember, they won it last year. Chris Jones said, you know, we want to win it again. The Chiefs talked right away about how they want to be not a one-hit wonder, and now here we are. And there are some that believe that Mahomes maybe is focused on legacy or dynasty, and Andy Reid says he's just focused on this game.
Your mind is on things that are going to directly affect the game at this time, and you want to try to maximize that, and that's what he does. So I don't think he's probably thinking too much about the other part. I'm sure he loves the challenge of playing against Tampa Bay. They're a good football team, and Tom Brady's a friend of his. So, I mean, I think that and somebody he looks up to. So I think that's kind of a neat deal for him. But I think when you really get down to what he's thinking about, and that's just making sure he's got the game plan down and ready to go.
Okay, so then Tyreek Hill was asked, what would a win mean for this team and organization's legacy?
Oh, it doesn't cement us anywhere, I feel like. That's our mindset. Like, all of us are still young, so we have a lot of football to play. You know, when that time comes, that's when we'll think about that. But until then, we're going to continue to chase these records, chase these rings, and chase these dreams. You know what I mean?
I do. So the Chiefs trying to run it back. Here's the injury report. Of course, as we know, Eric Fisher is out with a torn Achilles. Mitchell Schwartz has been out for a long time. Willie Gay will not play. Hasn't played since the last regular season game. Le'Veon Bell, limited participant in practice yesterday, as was Sammy Watkins. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a full participant, as was Rashad Fenton. Patrick Mahomes, who is listed with a toe injury. He says he feels great, by the way. Mike Rimmers, a groin. Oh, goodness, we don't need a problem there. I don't know who's the left tackle after Rimmers. Le'Jarius Sneed, and then Andrew Wiley, a bit of an ankle, and he's your right tackle. So the Chiefs don't have a lot of leeway here on the offensive line. I think that's the biggest concern for me, injuries. You know, if you got to go to another right tackle or left tackle early in this game, that's going to be a concern as well. You know, Watkins, I think, is big, having him back, if he can really go, or will he aggravate the calf within the first couple plays. Yeah, I think you need to see Pringle. I'm okay. My son even said last night, I'm actually okay if Robinson doesn't play. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of get that feeling too, to be quite honest with you. Tampa Bay, their injuries, Antonio Brown, full participant yesterday. He missed the NFC title game. Levante David, a very good linebacker, hamstring, limited participant. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they were good to go. Jason Pierre-Paul, one of those big pass rushers, did not practice Wednesday with a knee, did limited participant yesterday. Jordan Whitehead, a very outstanding safety, limited participant. Antoine Winfield Jr., rookie safety, who missed the NFC title game with an ankle injury. He, limited participant. So it looks, for the most part, except for those guys you know are out for the year, like, you know, Schwartz and Fisher, And, you know, now Gay had to have surgery, Willie Gay did, on his knee with a torn meniscus, that everybody else is ready to go. Snead has cleared the concussion protocol, and that's very important for the Chiefs as well. Earlier this week, we had Seren Petro, 810 WHB, on the show, and get his thoughts on this matchup between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. And he feels very confident the Chiefs are the better team.
I think they have answers to whatever you want to do on the offensive side as well. And so I don't see any scenario, right? Four scenarios to a game. Bucks win big. Bucks win close. Chiefs win close. Chiefs win big. Bucks win big is not a possibility.
No, I agree.
So there's three other possibilities in this game, and two of them have the Chiefs holding the Lombardi Trophy. I'm going to go 37-17 Chiefs. I think the offense is clicking. I think the aggressiveness is there. There's no reason to hold anything back. So I think they will be super aggressive. I think 2 weeks for Andy Reid, as we know how good he is after a bye week. Now when there's, you know, no other games to have to put something on the shelf, I think he gets the full force of the Chiefs. I think defensively the most underrated unit in this game is the Chiefs' defense. You know, points allowed, I think the Bucks were 6th and the Chiefs were tied for 10th, but there's a half a point difference. You know, I think the Chiefs' defense is actually the better unit. So I think the Chiefs are better on both sides of the ball. And I think that'll – and I think special teams, they're better there. Dave Doe's the best special teams coordinator around. I think that the Chiefs win. I think they get a couple of takeaways. And I think they win this game in the fourth quarter. We're already celebrating with champagne.
Boy, I hope. I really do hope that Seren is right and that we don't have to sweat this thing and the Chiefs are up comfortably early to mid fourth quarter. I hope he's right. Nick Lucky, former K-Stater and, of course, former NFL player as well. We had him on the show last week, and I asked him, what is your biggest concern going into this game versus the Buccaneers?
Is Bucs D linemen getting pressure with four? I mean, you got JPP, Golston, you got Sue. So, I mean, when they lined up in that third, fourth quarter of that match, they were not in control. I mean, they were hanging on for dear life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that offensive line was they were trying to do some stuff where they're leaving the right tackle, and it's the right guard's fault because he was trying to stop Sue's bull rush. And I get it. That's a ferocious bull rush. And he was trying to attack him like a run play. And you need to set back because what that does, so if you're the right guard and you're the right tackle and you're supposed to be dropping back in a pass pro, and if that right guard decides to attack the line of scrimmage to prevent that D tackle from moving, look at – think about that right tackle on an island versus JPP, Jason
mm-hmm.
Pierre-Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You don't expect the offensive lineman to get to 100%. At best, you're 70%. So that means you're getting worked over. You know, you're on an island, and that's how you get pressure with four. And then, you know, if you're dropping seven, that's tough for an offense to run their scheme.
So that's the biggest concern, according to Nick Lecky, and I agree with him. Also, I asked Mr. Lecky what the Chiefs' advantage was versus the Buccaneers.
Legarius Sneed and Tyrann Mathieu. Getting that safety pressure quick. And you want to talk about guys who can get there quick and put some pressure on Brady. And Brady's not mobile. So, you know, your Josh Allen rules that the Chiefs had last week where you got a super fast quarterback. I mean, you can say Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, one and the same. Because they're so quick and they're elusive. You can kind of turn that off, and if you're a D lineman, you can chase sacks, right? You can get after Brady because if you get close to Brady, he will shut it down. But getting there is going to be difficult because this O line is really, really good for Tampa.
All right, so we're talking basically pass rush for both teams defensively, and Nick likes the speed they can bring out the edge, whether it's Mathieu being disguised, coming in on a blitz, or Snead with that corner blitz with his outstanding speed. That's added a little different dimension for the Chiefs and their blitz packages. It bears repeating once again, the Chiefs are 10-0. When Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have worked together, when they've had 2 weeks to prepare, they're undefeated at 10-0. I believe the Chiefs are going to win this game. And I'm going to tell you why Patrick Mahomes is going to add to his young legacy on Sunday in Tampa. This is a legacy game. The players and the coaches can say all they want about it, and they can say they're focused on the game, and they are.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's no doubt that the Chiefs know what's at stake here. And so do the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers know that Brady, this might be his last chance, and this might be the only time he faces Mahomes head-to-head, although if you're a Buccaneer player, if you never won a Super Bowl, you're more worried about yourself getting a ring for the first time, clearly. If you're the Chiefs, it's a chance to be a part of NFL history. Yes, Super Bowl champions are remembered. You know who's really remembered? Those that do it back-to-back. Those that win multiple championships. The great teams in all sports win back-to-back championships. All you have to do is look at all kinds of examples. I mean, look at the Yankees in baseball. You can look at the Celtics with Bill Russell. You can look at the Lakers. You can look at the Pistons. They repeated. The Bulls three-peated twice. The Lakers, they're able to go back-to-back multiple times. The Patriots have done it multiple times in the National Football League. So you've got, and the Steelers, I believe, did it. The 49ers, I think, did it once. So going back-to-back is huge to be remembered for a very long time. And then you add in the factor that everybody knows about, and that is that Mahomes and the Chiefs are going up against most people consider the GOAT, the greatest of all time at quarterback, and Tom Brady, who's been to 10 Super Bowls. This is his 10th. He's 6-3 in those Super Bowls, and he could have easily lost every one of those six, and he could easily won the other three. I mean, honestly, every one of the Super Bowls Tom Brady's in comes down to the final possession. I mean, they were down 28-3 to the Falcons, came all the way back and won. But the Rams game a couple years ago, honestly, the Patriots was probably one of their worst Super Bowl teams because they should have lost to the Chiefs in the AFC title game. And they won 13-3. You never felt the Rams were going to do anything offensively. That was really the if you want to call that a blowout, 13-3. That was the biggest really win in the Super Bowl for the New England Patriots. So when Brady's in Super Bowls, the games are very close, they're very competitive, and they come down to the wire. But this is a legacy game. It is for, you know, if you know, Brian Haney asked me this yesterday, and I thought it was a good question. He goes, isn't there a lot more pressure on Mahomes to win this game than Brady? And I totally agree, because Brady's got his six rings. Brady loses this, it isn't going to hurt his legacy, because he'd be 6-4, he'd gone to 10 Super Bowls, and you could say, well, he lost to the best player in the league. He lost to the best team in the league in 2020, 2021. That was the Kansas City Chiefs, who went 14-2. If Brady wins, he just adds to his legacy, and you might be able to slam the door shut. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, and Mahomes will never catch him. And if Mahomes, let's just assume here that Brady and the Bucks win this game, Brady would have seven Super Bowl rings. He had beaten Mahomes head-to-head in the Super Bowl, and assuming they don't meet again in the Super Bowl, because Brady's probably only got a couple years left, Mahomes would be 0-2 in the playoffs against Brady, although the last one is not fair. D Ford was offside, and Bob Sutton is defensive coordinator, and he never got the ball in overtime. But still, that's going to be the narrative. And if they lose to the Buccaneers on Sunday, Mahomes can go out and win seven Super Bowls. He can have the exact same amount of Super Bowls as Tom Brady at the end of his career. And he could go to 10 Super Bowls. And he could go 7-3 just like Tom Brady. And you know who's going to be considered the GOAT? Tom Brady. You know why? Because he beat Mahomes head-to-head when he was 43 years of age and Mahomes was in his prime. So this is a legacy game. If Mahomes loses this game, it's not the end of the world. The Chiefs could come back and win all kinds of Super Bowls, but this might be, and probably will be, your only opportunity to beat Brady in the Super Bowl. So I think Mahomes is going to add to his young legacy. This is a legacy game. You have a chance to beat the GOAT. You have a chance to go back-to-back, be the ninth team that has gone back-to-back, and nobody's done it the last 16 years. You would then have the tiebreaker against Brady. If you never play Brady ever again, you can say, as Patrick Mahomes, when he retires, when he's 40 or whatever it will be for Patrick Mahomes, let's hope he has a long way to go, he would be 3-2 against Brady, and he'd won his last three against Brady. And his two losses would have been his first year as a starter. Mm-hmm. And his losses would have been when he scored 40 and lost in Foxborough, 43-40, and the other was 37-31, when with 31 seconds to go in regulation, he went down the field and got a field goal range and went 60-some yards with two unbelievable passes. But they had to flip a coin, and he never got the ball, and the defense did nothing and couldn't stop 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-10, and 3rd-and-10 in overtime, and D4 jumped off sides. So this is the tiebreaker. That's how I look at it in regards to legacy. Now, listen, Mahomes can go out, and the Chiefs can win the Super Bowl Sunday, and that might be it. The Chiefs may not win another Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes the rest of his career. Brady will still be considered the GOAT. But if Mahomes goes out and even goes like Joe Montana, 4-0 in Super Bowls, and he beats Brady head-to-head, he could still be considered the GOAT. Now, some people are going to say, well, Tom Brady's a GOAT because he's been to 10. Well, now we go back to the Michael Jordan-LeBron James comparison. LeBron's been to what, 10 finals, 9 finals, 10 finals? 10 finals. Yeah. He has won 4 titles. And Jordan was 6-0. LeBron's gotten to more titles than Jordan, but the knock on LeBron is what? That he's lost. He isn't undefeated. Well, if Mahomes would end up going 4-0 or 5-0 in the Super Bowl in his career and have less Super Bowl appearances as Brady, but have just one less win and beats Brady head-to-head, you have a great argument that Mahomes is the greatest of all time, even though he only went to 5 Super Bowls instead of 10 because he won all 5. So, but this one, obviously you lose. Now you're not going to go undefeated as a quarterback in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And that's not easy to do. Montana did it. Brady hasn't been able to do it, but he's been there now 10 times. And the other thing that really stands out to me, why Mahomes is going to add to his young legacy and why I think this guy is absolutely, totally zeroed in on this game, there's a multitude of reasons. Tyreek Hill, it was reported yesterday, talked about how Mahomes is throwing crazy dots, crazy throws on the money, extremely accurate. And the Chiefs don't say that week in and week out. Hill said that. Mahomes is dialed in. And I saw this when he was asked a question. I saw a twinkle in his eye when Tracy Wolfson asked him after the Chiefs won the AFC title game about playing Tom Brady. He said the short statement that he's supposed to say, but you almost saw a little, almost a bit of a wry grin. Like, this is what I want. This is what I want. It ain't going to come down to a coin flip this time, baby. This is what I want. I can take down the greatest of all time. I can have bragging rights. I think that means something to Patrick Mahomes. No question about it. And so I'll give you 2 more reasons why I think Mahomes will add to his young legacy because of the fuel and motivation and fire that he has in his belly. And that is, one, he didn't play very well in the Super Bowl last year until the final 8 minutes. He threw 2 picks and looks like the Chiefs are going to lose. And he picked it up when they really needed it. I think he knows he's going to play. He's got to play a lot better than he did last year in the Super Bowl to win this year's Super Bowl. And I think he will. I think he'll be accustomed now to a second Super Bowl. He'll be a little bit more comfortable in the situation. And he played a really good defense last year, and he'll play another good defense on Sunday. And I'll tell you the last fuel for motivation for Mr. Patrick Mahomes, and that is 2018, Tom Brady got the ball in overtime, went right down the field and scored. And Patrick Mahomes knows that had the Chiefs won the coin flip, he would have went right down the field and scored. And think about how the narrative would be different. Had Dee Ford not jumped offsides or had the Chiefs won the coin flip, think about the narrative that we'd have today. We would have Mahomes 3-1 against Brady. Mahomes would have already won an AFC title game against Brady. We would have, and he won an overtime thriller in a showdown against Brady with New England, and then has a chance to beat Brady with 2 different franchises. And he'd be 2-0 in the postseason. And that could easily have happened. The narrative also going this game would be that Mahomes would have maybe gone for 3 Super Bowls had they won the coin flip or Dee Ford didn't jump off sides back in 18. Now, we don't know. Maybe this team would have got fat and happy and they would have won in 18 and then they wouldn't have made it back in 19.
Maybe Bob Sutton wouldn't have been fired.
Maybe Bob Sutton still would have been defensive coordinator and Spags wouldn't have come in. We don't know. That is a hypothetical. I understand that. But the narrative would be a little bit different, no question, because Brady wouldn't have got a 6th ring. That's the biggest thing there. He would have been he would have lost. He wouldn't even had a 6th ring. He'd been 5-3, and this would be his 9th Super Bowl appearance, which is still pretty impressive. So what will the narrative be Sunday night around 9 o'clock? The game starts about 5:30. What will the narrative be Sunday night around 9 o'clock? Once they're going into their post-game press conferences and all the talking heads, what will be the narrative? Here's what I believe the narrative will be on Sunday night. Mahomes and the Chiefs will beat the Buccaneers, in my opinion, and there will be all the talk about how Mahomes is on his way to exceeding and being the greatest of all time. That'll be a major conversation because he would have been in 3 straight conference title games, 2 straight Super Bowls, 2 straight probably Super Bowl MVPs. I think if he got it last year, he's going to get it this year, and he'd be 2-0 in the Super Bowl, and he's only 25. So you're already going to start saying Mahomes might be the greatest. And he's only 25, which is probably too far. We're probably moving too quickly because, I mean, let your career play out.
But that's how it'll go.
That's how it'll go.
Yeah.
The other narrative of the Chiefs win are the Chiefs a dynasty, having won back-to-back Super Bowls, and how many more will they get, and will they go ahead and three-peat, which hasn't been done since I don't know when. Has it even been done in NFL history? I don't know.
I'd have to look that up. So.
I mean, you might look that up. Look that Super Bowl history, see if they're going to be at 3 years in a row. I don't think anybody has. The Chiefs could be the first to three-peat, okay? The other narrative that you'll hear if the Chiefs win, especially if the Chiefs play great on offense and Mahomes has a big day, there's going to be talk, is this the best offense of all time? Is this the best offense of all time? Is it better than the Rams, you know, the greatest show on turf? No team has ever won three in a row. Okay.
There have been two teams that have been in the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, but...
Which teams were that?
They were the Dolphins in 71-73, and then the Patriots 16-18.
Okay, all right, but nobody's three-peated.
Nope.
And then another part of the narrative of the Chiefs win, Andy Reid will now be considered one of the best coaches of all time. It won't be, oh, he finally got a Super Bowl, now he's one of the top 10 coaches. It'll be, well, listen, is he going to be better than Belichick? Belichick won all the Super Bowls, but he had his quarterback. Now Reid has his quarterback. How many more will Andy Reid win as a coach? There'll be talk about how he might be the second-best coach of all time. Mm-hmm. Behind Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
And he could catch Belichick. All this talk about Mahomes catching Brady. What about Reid catching Belichick? And then another narrative could also be Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator, beating Brady twice head-to-head in the Super Bowl. And he would be a three-time Super Bowl champion. I don't know if he won any others, but he had the Giants the one.
I don't think so.
And then the Chiefs back-to-back. That'll be the narrative if the Chiefs win on Sunday. Now, what will the narrative be if the Buccaneers win? Well, we know what the narrative will be then. The narrative will be Tom Brady's the greatest. It's done. There's no need to even think about it for the next, 100 years. Mahomes had his chance. He blew it. The Chiefs had their chance. They blew it. It's hard to go back-to-back. Brady's the greatest player that ever lived, and that'll be the narrative. The Buccaneers' defense was outstanding, or Brady. I'll tell you what, even if Brady goes 3-for-7 with three picks in the second half, somehow it'll be ignored if the Buccaneers win, like it was ignored when they just beat the Packers. I mean, Brady was horrendous in the second half of that game. Biggest concern of this game, to me, I think there's three. The Bucs pass rush against the Chiefs offensive line is a concern, although I'm not as concerned about that as I was initially, because I think the Chiefs will get the ball out of Mahomes' hands very quickly, get it in playmaker's hands. You heard Mahomes say that a little while ago. So the Chiefs are not going to have him sit back there and drop. Now, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15, that's going to be the key for the Buccaneers. Can they get a sack, or maybe you get a holding penalty or a false start to where you set the Chiefs into a 2nd or 3rd and long situation? Then Mahomes has to drop back. But when Mahomes can get out of the pocket and improvise, and as Seren Petros said the other day, Mahomes can drop back 53 times and get sacked 5 times. And people be like, wow, the Buccaneers really got after Mahomes. But if Mahomes completes 32 out of 48 passes for 380 yards,
yeah,
4 touchdowns and no interceptions and get sacked 5 times, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, it's kind of like the rushing game. Oh, wow, the Ravens ran for 200 yards. Who cares? They lost. I mean, so the Buccaneers go out and sack Mahomes 7 times on Sunday. That doesn't mean they're going to win. It doesn't. It will help them, no question about
it. Sure.
The other concern I have is injuries. If something happens to Hill, Kelsey, Matthew, left, right tackle, especially on the offensive line or anywhere on the offensive line, there's not much depth with all the injuries they've had. And, of course, an injury to Mahomes, re-aggravates the toe, something weird happens there. Please don't run a lot of options with Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Let's not get
please.
Him choked out in the Super Bowl.
Let's not get him choked out. All right. And then I'll give you one last one that not a lot of people are talking about. And it's always a factor, especially if the game ends up being close, and that's bad officiating.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a really bad call, there are people who believe Brady gets calls. And, is there going to be a big play in this game where Brady's going to get a call because the Chiefs barely touch his helmet with a fingernail like it was in the AFC title game? Remember that horrible roughing the passer penalty? Or will Mahomes get that benefit of that bad call?
There are some people that think he's getting those now,
true,
too.
True. And I can't argue with that. And that's another reason why everybody's going to hate Mahomes here in the future if Mahomes keeps winning Super Bowls, because he'll start getting even more of those calls. And that's what happens when you're the greatest. Jordan got the calls. LeBron got the calls and gets the calls. We know how that works. And also, it'll be very interesting. I brought this up with Seren earlier this week. What about the officiating? How will it be officiated? Like, in the NFC title game, they let him play. They let him play. There was holding in the secondary. They let him play, except for the pull of the jersey on that last play that sealed the deal for the Bucs in that game. What about the offensive line? Your left tackle and right tackle, they're beat. Are they going to be, unless it's just an egregious hold, is it going to be a holding penalty on Wiley at right tackle or Rimmers at left tackle? I'm not sure. Are you going to get away with hitting the quarterback in the head? Are you going to get away with a hit that's borderline on the sideline? Are you going to protect the quarterbacks? Are the corners going to be able to grab and pull on Kelsey and Hill all day long and beat them up at the line of scrimmage? Will the Chiefs be able to do the same thing to Mike Evans and Antonio Brown and Gronkowski? It'll be interesting to see. I think the officials are going to let them play. I really do. And I'm okay with that. I really am. I'm okay with it. Let them play. I don't want officials deciding this game. It's the greatest of all time versus who could be the next greatest of all time. I don't want the officials to be the story of this game. This is a great matchup. Let's not ruin it, because you won't get this type of matchup maybe ever again. You probably will, but it might be 15 years from now. Mahomes is the 42-year-old going up against a kid that's like him at 24. That could happen, but you don't see this. It just doesn't happen. You've got Super Bowl champions, Super Bowl MVPs at quarterback for the respective teams. You got Brady versus Mahomes. It is fascinating, no doubt about it. What are your concerns? Any concerns other than ones I brought up that you're worried about? You know, turnovers, obviously, if the Chiefs turn. I think the Chiefs can turn it over three times in this game and still win, because I still think they're going to get at least one or two from Brady.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I mean, the Chiefs can win games being -2, -3 in the turnover category. We know that. Now, in this game, maybe -3 is too many, but the Bucs have feasted off of turnovers in the playoffs. If the Chiefs don't turn the ball over, and I think if the Chiefs turn the ball over once or none, I don't think the Bucs have a chance of winning this game.
No. It's weird because, like, this whole two-week period here has been more about just waiting for the kickoff than about being worried about the game.
Right, I agree with you.
It's so weird. Like, I'm just like – and that might not be a good thing, right?
I know.
And so – but I've just been – I mean, I've been comfortable the whole 2 weeks. I'm just like, let's get this game going and let's play it, because – you gave concerns there, and I don't even think – I mean, officiating
can't
be a concern. Yeah, you're reaching on officiating. I think Carl Jeffers is the lead referee here, and he's seen the Chiefs, knows the Chiefs, and has let the Chiefs do a lot of things. Andy Reid feels really comfortable about the officials in this game. And so when I read that kind of stuff, it kind of makes me think, well, I mean, we'll probably be all right in that area, you hope. But you never know until the game gets kicked off and until you start playing. So, yeah, you're reaching to find something that you feel is – a disadvantage for the Chiefs and a concern, and it's hard for me to think of things that are a real legitimate concern, and I think that would be the case against whoever the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, I agree.
That's the way it is, right? You have become conditioned in a way of thinking it does not matter who the Chiefs play. The only team that's beating the Chiefs is the Chiefs. And so those are the things that you're concerned about. Maybe making mistakes. Maybe you're too hyped up for the Super Bowl. You get some cheap penalty, you know, you're making a tackle near the sideline and you get called for unnecessary roughness or late hit out of bounds, something like that puts Brady in a position to be in a better way to score a touchdown and hurt you in that way. So that's, for me, when I look at these games and I look at the Chiefs, even with the injuries they have on the front line, right, even with anything that might have gone wrong for them, is that they're going to be the team that beats themselves.
I agree.
More so than the other team is going to beat them in any given game. And you don't worry as much as you used to about maybe some of the coaching decisions, because you've got Mahomes at quarterback,
right,
and he's got a more free reign to do things. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things that I would have said like 2 years ago about the Chiefs that would have been major concerns.
Andy Reid game management, will he go for it?
You know, timeouts, is he going to use them at the right time? Yeah. Is he going to clock management? You're just like, is he doing the right things?
Right.
But now it's just like
– being predictable on defense a few years ago was the issue.
You don't have that now. A coach that's not at all predictable on defense.
Oh, no. He'll bring the house really think he should.
Yeah, it's just the narrative has changed so much in this 2 years, just about everything that involves this team.
You're absolutely
right. And so you go into it, and these talking heads can say the Buccaneers have better players than the Chiefs, but I'll see that when I'll believe that when I see it, and I feel confident with the group the Chiefs have, no matter who they're playing, when they're playing. It's kind of like a Michael Beasley quote, we'll beat them here, we'll beat them on the road, and we'll beat them in Africa. It's like this team doesn't matter where they're at. They play better on the road, and everybody's worried about that road thing. Some people are worried because Tampa's at home. The Chiefs have not lost a road game in forever.
They're 8-0 this year in road games. Right. And the Bucs lost 3 games at home this year.
Yeah. And it's like,
by the way,
not a lot of things that just sit there and I'm concerned about.
If there's ever a time to play a team in their home stadium in the Super Bowl, this is the year. Because of COVID, there's limited fan attendance, and then the Chiefs got an allotment of tickets. It's not going to be all Tampa Bay fans. Yeah, they might make some noise because they gave it to so many healthcare workers there in Tampa, but it won't be as big of an advantage. And the Chiefs, I think it could be an advantage to the Chiefs, because now they won't be down there all week long and have all this time and get in trouble, because we know guys have gotten in trouble on Super Bowl week in the past, and all kinds of weird things have happened. One guy went across the border, for crying out loud, to Mexico and got in trouble one year of the Super Bowl. But the Chiefs are flying in. They get in tomorrow. It's just like a regular season game in regards to the travel. The routine's going to be normal. There is no, I mean, they had to do all the video conferencing Zoom stuff with Media Day and Media Week, but still, you're doing it comfort in your own home. I mean, I think that's another advantage for the Chiefs, even though Tampa and the Buccaneers get to sleep in their own beds. The Chiefs got to sleep in their all their. They don't have to sleep out of their own bed for two nights. And one night, Saturday, and then Sunday night, they ain't going to sleep anyway if they win it. They're going to be up all night partying, which they should. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to see Brady in the Super Bowl. I really, really didn't, because that means he has a chance to win another one. But if you told me, listen, Wade, I can tell you that the Chiefs are going to beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, then I'd say, well, let's do it. If we're ever going to beat them, let's beat them, because we lost to them in 2018. If I knew the Chiefs are going to win for sure, I'd be like, I'll take that. But it's the fact that there is that chance that Brady plays great and he is Brady, and the Chiefs, some weird things happen, somehow they lose, and they'll just make you sick to your stomach, because you'd be like, that's it. There's no way we're going to catch what the Patriots did or catch what Brady did, if that is the goal. But having said that, let's look at what he is. Tom Brady is a leader. So is Mahomes. Brady is not the quarterback he once was. He never had a tremendous cannon for an arm, but he's very heady and cerebral, as Steve Spagnuolo pointed out. But he's a statue in the pocket. And that's, the Chiefs have problems with guys that get out. Deshaun Watson's given them problems in the past. Now, granted, you know, Derek Carr gave him problems this year for the Raiders, and he sits in the pocket, but he's more mobile than Tom Brady. I mean, Brady, when the pocket collapses around him, he absolutely falls down. Mm-hmm. He does. He just falls down. He didn't even try to make a play. He just covers the ball and falls down, which is smart.
Yeah.
Which is smart by Tom Brady. The other thing is, he throws balls up for grabs now. I mean, just horrible, horrible passes. Now, sometimes, if it's a third and long, you know, fourth and long, it's almost like a punt, and that's okay. But Brady, with the two throws he had in the second half against the Chiefs against Tampa, did not throw the ball well at all. He didn't play great in the second half against the Saints. It was that the Saints gift-wrapped turnovers for a quick, short drives. I mean, honestly, Brady hasn't played very well in the second half of the playoff games. He's played well in the first half. The second half, he has not played so well. And we know how the Chiefs kind of get a slow start, and they get stronger. So I honestly, I know this sounds crazy to say, but people get caught up in the name of Tom Brady. But I would be more worried if the Chiefs were playing Russell Wilson on Sunday than Tom Brady, because of his ability to escape, get out of the pocket, create plays, which is exactly what Mahomes does. And even though he's not Deshaun Watson, he's not Lamar Jackson, Mahomes can scramble, move his feet so well, he can make plays with his feet. We know that. We've seen it. And when he rolls right and escapes pressure, you're in trouble, because that's when he kills you. With Hill and Kelce and now Watkins, if he's back, or they can even dump it off to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You got so many weapons. The other thing about the pass rush, I mean, I know a lot of people are concerned about the Buccaneers' pass rush, concerned about the offensive line being banged up, backup left tackle, backup right guard, so forth and so on. But Andy Reid and the Chiefs have not thrown many screen passes this year. And I think with 2 weeks to prepare, they're going to throw a few screens early to slow down that pass rush, okay? And they might not go for big yardage, but it'll at least make the Bucs stay honest a little bit, okay? I think that's something to keep an eye on. And then I want the Chiefs to blow out the Buccaneers and make a gigantic statement that we were the best team all year. And for all you guys that kept whining about how close we won, take this and shove it. That's what I want to see the Chiefs do. And the Chiefs have played to their level of competition throughout the year, all right? They have. They know it. In the playoffs, they would have beat the Browns by at least two scores if Mahomes didn't get hurt. They beat the Bills fairly easily after spotting them 9 points. And the Bills, I think, were the second-best team in the National Football League this year. And now they go up against a Cerebral quarterback, but he can't move around and run with the football like Josh Allen does, so you don't have to worry about that anymore, as Nick Leckie pointed out. Yeah, third and one, fourth and one, Brady's going to probably get it on a quarterback sneak. He's great at that, no question. But I want this game for the Chiefs to make a gigantic statement. And I could see there is a scenario where I can see the Chiefs blowing the doors off the Buccaneers and playing their best game of the year. Haven't we been saying this all year long? When are they going to put together that most complete game? We've seen them do it in stretches against the Ravens. They did it against the Bills. They've had other stretches this year where they've looked just, well, obviously against the Buccaneers with their offense. But I want to see that longer extended period of where the Chiefs are dominant, and I think you're going to see it. You've had 2 weeks to prepare for this team. You've seen them already. You know what Todd Bowles wants to do. Yes, they're familiar with the Chiefs as well. I get it. The Chiefs have faced Tom Brady more times than the Bucs have faced Patrick Mahomes. Steve Spagnuolo has faced Tom Brady more than Todd Bowles has faced Patrick Mahomes, okay? So I like that. But if you really want something interesting and entertaining, and if you believe in complete karma, as we were talking about earlier, and this would drive me insane, and I will stress so much that I might have to go see a doctor. But if I knew the Chiefs would win, I'd be okay with this. Wouldn't it be something if Tampa Bay and the Chiefs play Super Bowl 55 Sunday, and the game goes to overtime, and the Chiefs win the coin flip and go right down the field and score a touchdown, and Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and Brady knows what it feels like to never touch the ball in the biggest game. And you know what everybody starts saying? Overtime rules got to be changed. You can't let a Super Bowl be decided that way. Brady has a right to have the ball. And the Buccaneer fans would scream. And, of course, if it happened to the Chiefs again, they would really scream. Here's the thing. I don't think Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to let it come down to that. No. But if I knew the Chiefs would win the coin flip and go down and win, I'm all for that because I think that would be hilarious. But I can't stress. I can't take that stress level, I don't think.
No.
Because
no.
I'm going to be, you know, and the other thing that Seren said the other day, which was a great point, he goes, well, that sounds crazy to say. The Chiefs, when they get down 9-10-0, that's what the Chiefs want. Like, they wake up and then just let everything loose. They're just completely wide open. Mm-hmm. And whereas, I tell you what, this sounds crazy to say, but they had a big lead against Tampa 17-0, right? Early. Bucs came back, and the Chiefs had to execute a 4-minute offense and pick up a couple first downs, or the Bucs would have got the ball back despite two horrible throws by Brady. The Bucs still had a chance to win that game. They never had the ball with a chance to take the lead, but had they stopped the Chiefs on that 4-minute offensive drive, they would have got the ball back, and I think they would have tied it or maybe won the game, even though the Chiefs were clearly the better team the whole day. Mm-hmm. And Brady has a history, we know, to come back. He was down 28-3 to the Falcons. Now, granted, I don't think Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to be as dumb as the Falcons were in that game. However, if the Chiefs go out and play great and they're up at halftime 28-3, there are going to be some players that are going to have a little, they're going to relax going, all right, we're already thinking about the partying afterward. We're going to get our second ring. We're going to do the confetti snow angels. So it might be good that the Chiefs don't have this gigantic lead at halftime. And then if you can start pulling away and blow them out second half, that's great. I know that sounds weird. And Andy Reid could always point to, listen, Tom Brady was down 28-3, guys. So no lead is safe. I just think the leadership on this team is too good. I think Tyrann Mathieu is going to say, dude, we are not letting up. I don't care if it's 27-0. We've got two quarters to go. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to take the foot off the gas. They have multiple times this year because they knew they could flip that switch back on. You do not want to take that chance in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. I have the Chiefs winning this game. I have the Chiefs winning 34-20. That's my pick. I think the Chiefs could score more than that. And I am predicting Patrick Mahomes to have a gigantic game, and he is going to add to his legacy, and people are just going to be drooling about Patrick Mahomes, and they're going to be drooling about Andy Reid and the Chiefs going for a three-peat next year. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a gigantic game. I think he is already laser-focused in. I know Tom Brady is, but Brady can't do all the improvisation that Mahomes can. And honestly, I think Mahomes has the better weapons. I know the Bucs have Gronkowski. He's not what he once was. He's still a good player. Mike Evans is a good player. He's not a super speedster, okay? Antonio Brown isn't the player he once was. He's still a good player. The Bucs can run the ball a lot. That's fine. I'm not overly worried if the Bucs control time of possession. That doesn't usually beat the Chiefs either, okay? The bottom line is the Bucs, if they're going to win this game, are going to have to force a few turnovers, and they're going to have to hold the Chiefs to field goals instead of touchdowns. And if the Bucs do those two things, they've got a chance. And they can do that. They legitimately have a chance. I am not underestimating the Buccaneers. I just think the Chiefs are the best team. I think the Chiefs have been waiting all year to get through the season, the monotony of the regular season. They couldn't wait to get to this point. They are finally there. And then to add a little fuel to the fire, it's Tom Brady they're playing against. And you know how much Chris Jones wants to get to Tom Brady. Chris Jones better step it up and turn on the switch like he supposedly has. Frank Clark,
if
Frank Clark and Chris Jones play like they're capable of, the Chiefs' defensive front is just as good as the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs' secondary is just as good as the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers definitely have the better linebackers. There's no doubt about that. Offensively, the Chiefs got the better quarterback. They got the better tight end. They got the better number one wide receiver. The Chiefs special teams-wise, you know, I think they got the better kicker, although Suckup is reliable. Butker's got that longer leg. You might get a 60-yard field goal before halftime. That's a big play in the game for Butker. Suckup can't make that type of kick. Butker's going to kick the ball through the end zone. There won't be returns in the kickoff game you wouldn't expect. And you're probably not punting very much, so you don't have to cover punts very often either. So special teams still an advantage for the Chiefs. And then coaching, I'll take Andy Reid over Bruce Arians, although Bruce Arians has been aggressive, but he tends to get conservative at times. He likes to run the ball. He's kind of old school at times. Mm-hmm. But he has really done a good job in the playoffs, being aggressive, going for it in certain situations, trusting Tom Brady to make some play calls on his own. So that worries me a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think the Chiefs win this game. I'm being a little bit conservative. I want to say even higher, but I'm going 34-20. I think Mahomes is going to go out there, and he's going to go 30 for 40, something like that, for 350 yards plus, four touchdowns, no interceptions. And the Chiefs are going to score four touchdowns, two field goals. And I'm being conservative in my feeling here. And I think the Chiefs win 34-20.
It's funny you say that. We don't talk about scores when we make predictions.
Not very often.
And so this morning, while you were doing some of the breakdown and all that, I wrote it down, like, quarter by quarter, what I thought the score would be.
Right.
And it came out to 34-20.
Did it really?
Yeah. But I was like, 14,
you didn't know,
no,
you didn't
14
know my
point is too. I was like, I think it's going to be a 10-point game. Uh-huh. So I changed the field goal I had in the third quarter to a touchdown for the Buccaneers.
Okay.
So it'll be different than yours, but initially it was the same as yours.
Wow. That's scary.
I'm going to say 34-24.
And you know what's weird about that is I told somebody the other day when they asked my prediction, I kid you not, I said 34-24.
Yeah.
I did. I'm not lying.
Somebody asked me the other day, what's the spread? And I'm like, it's 6 at least. I don't know yet. I haven't made my pick.
So 34-20, you say 34-24.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, let's hope that's right, either one of them.
Yeah.
I'll be okay to be wrong, and it's 40-3. I'm cool with that as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll probably be that crazy.
I had another cool thing to add when you talked about the Tampa Bay healthcare workers.
Uh-huh.
You remember David Moore from Waukini?
Yes, I do.
He's a Tampa healthcare worker right now.
Oh, so he's going
he's
to the Super
Bowl? He's a Chiefs fan, and he got a ticket to go to the Super
that's
Bowl.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I just saw that on Facebook the other day. I was like, that's really cool. Like, they thought they were giving all these tickets to Buccaneers fans. Little did they know that there's a guy from, he moved to Overland Park after high school and lived there for most of the time. But
I like
it. He's down at Tampa and going to be a Chiefs fan.
I like it.
A healthcare worker in Tampa.
I love it. I love it. I love it. There's a chance for some rain showers early in the game they're talking about. But I think there's like a 30 or 40% chance. We'll see if that has any impact on the game. I'm excited. I think the Chiefs are going to get it done. I'll be extremely disappointed if they don't, and I'll be really sick that Brady will be holding the Lombardi for a seventh time. I respect the guy like heck, but and that's kind of weird. I'm 45. He's 43. I should be cheering for the old guy, right? But I'm like, dude, you've had your time in the sun. This is the official passing of the torch. I believe this game is you're going to look back and go, that was the official passing of the torch. I think when you do the 30 for 30 on Patrick Mahomes, when he retires at the age of 38, 40, 36, whatever it is, I think you're going to look back on this Sunday's game and you're going to say that's when the torch was passed. Most people thought so but didn't have the guts to say it before the game. Then the Chiefs went out and did it. And Mahomes will talk about how, I couldn't wait to get – I remembered 18 and there was no way I was going to let it come down a coin flip again. I can already see the whole scripted show. That's my vision.
Yeah.
Now watch the Bucs go out and win the game and I'll be wrong. But I feel really, really good about it. I really do. Which scares both of us, I know.
Yes.
Pregame, the Road to Tampa preview show at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake on Sunday. Then pregame at 3 o'clock, local pregame. National pregame at 4, kickoff around 5:30, and then back to local postgame afterwards. Hopefully a lot of interviews, talking to the players and coaches, and celebrating the Chiefs' third Super Bowl championship and going back-to-back, being the ninth NFL team to do that. And by the way, the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. There will be one of not a lot of teams have won three Super Bowls in franchise history. So the Chiefs start to climb that ladder with a quarterback who's just 25. So that would be something. If you think people don't like Mahomes and the Chiefs now, wait till the Chiefs win on Sunday. Next year, everybody's going to want to beat the Chiefs. Everybody. Of course, they kind of did this year, but it's going to be okay. Brady, all right, there's the torch been passed. Now Mahomes is the new Brady, except maybe a more athletic version who has the cerebralness of Tom Brady but just more athletic and a stronger arm. That could be what you have. Should be fun. Can't wait. Can we play it now? Apparently not. Chiefs will fly in tomorrow, though. They'll be there around 4, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. KU at number 18, West Virginia. KU at number 23, 12-6, 6-4 in conference play. West Virginia 5-3. 12:30 pregame tomorrow on Z96.3 at Lakeville South. His team really took care of West Virginia rather easily, made a ton of three-pointers. I think they made, 16 threes, and Christian Brown was going nuts. He hit 5, I believe it was. Bill Self says there's a big difference between the Mountaineers from the first time they played them to this time coming up tomorrow.
They're playing smaller. You know, they lose a talented big and like they did, and I think their team actually got better. They're putting more shooters on the court. They're playing faster offensively. They're definitely pressuring more than what they did when they were playing two bigs. So they look more like the West Virginia that we've seen the last several years than what I thought they looked like just because of the lineups they had out there the first time we played them.
KU at West Virginia, 12:30, pregame, 1 o'clock, tip-off tomorrow from Morgantown on Z96.3 The Lake. K-State will be back in action. They host Texas Tech, who's ranked 13th. K-State losers of 9 in a row. 5-14 overall, 1-9 in the Big 12. Texas Tech 13-5, 5-4 in the Big 12. That'll be on ESPN Plus at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon from Bramlage. Well, here's the mindset, according to Coach Weber, going into the game tomorrow.
I keep telling them, learn, guys. This is life's about learning. And you know, every adversity, every setback you have, you know, you got to keep coming back. It's not about how many times you fall, but it's how many times you got to be proud that you get up. And that's all we can do right now. And they got to get their heads clear, see if we can come back and come with some fight, because you know Texas Tech on Saturday will be very physical.
Texas Tech at K-State, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in Bramlage. Other Big 12 action coming up tomorrow. Iowa State's number 9, Oklahoma at 11 a.m. on ESPN2. Number 6, Texas is at number 24, Oklahoma State, according to one poll. That's on ABC at 2 o'clock. TCU at number 2, Baylor at 3 o'clock on ESPN+. It should be noted that KU's game against Texas has been moved to a Tuesday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. in Austin. They have moved that game for some reason. So take note on your schedules. Wichita State back in action. They'll host Temple coming up on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And as soon as they get done, then they'll probably get glued to the TV to watch the Chiefs knock off the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. Shockers 10-4 right there near the top of the league standings at 6-2. They'll host the Owls of Temple at 2 o'clock on Sunday. If you didn't hear, John Chaney, who's an unbelievable coach for Temple and a wonderful ambassador of college basketball, he passed away here recently. I remember him interesting character on the sideline. His teams were so good, but he was more than just a coach. He was almost like a father to a lot of the kids that he had on his basketball team. So John Chaney, former Temple head coach, passing away here recently. So that's a look at what's going on in sports, folks. And once again, if you're a Chiefs fan, I know you're probably anxious, you're apprehensive, you're probably nervous about taking on the GOAT, Tom Brady. And there is an article now on CBSSports.com that says, does this man, and there's a picture of Steve Spagnuolo, have Tom Brady's number? I was hoping they'd hold off on that article until after the Chiefs would beat Brady and the Bucks on Sunday. So now Brady can use that as a little bit more fuel. Although, let's be honest, if you can't get motivated and ready to go for Super Bowl 55 by now, if you're a Buccaneer player or a Chiefs player, then you really have a major issue. You can't get up for the championship of the National Football League. Let's hope everybody's good to go. No COVID positives or anything like that. Everybody has as many people as they can available to them play. Let's hope there's no injuries during the game, too, and that doesn't have a major impact on anything. I mean, let's hope Brady – I don't want Brady to get hurt. I don't want Mahomes to get hurt. I don't want any of the key Buccaneer players to get hurt. I don't want anybody in this game to get hurt. I want the best to beat the best. And Dusty, there it is, CBSSports.com. I talked about Steve Spagnuolo having Tom Brady's number. I was hoping they'd write that article after the Super Bowl was over on Sunday, but there it is. There's a picture of Spags. Does this man have Tom Brady's number? He's 3-2 versus Tom Brady as defensive coordinator. Of course, the big one was the undefeated Patriots, and of course, it took an unbelievable catch by David Tyree to make that happen as well. But in that game, the Patriots' high-flying offense was held to 14 points. And this offense of the Bucs isn't anything close to that, although this Chiefs defense probably not as good as the Giants defense was that year either. So it will be fascinating. The strategy, the matchups, the adjustments. And just because the Chiefs are up by 14 at halftime or down 14 at halftime, there's no need to get overconfident if they're up. And there's probably no need to get super down if they're down, because we know what the Chiefs do. If they get behind, they just come out of firing. So it should be a blast. Our coverage begins at 2 o'clock on Sunday. All right, high school basketball tonight, Dusty?
Yeah, we have on
TV. Oh, sorry. Let me turn that on so you can everybody can hear
that
you.
Might help.
I changed it earlier. My bad.
Yeah, but what at Ellsworth on Katie Country 94 and online video at NCSSports.com. Again, pregame around 6:15, boys only tonight on that one with the radio coverage. And then on Z96.3 through the lake, KatieCountry94.com. Pregame 5:50, Rock Hills and Lakeside in Mankato. So, enjoy the coverage tonight, everybody, and enjoy wrestling tomorrow again as well, starting at 12:30 with reports on Katie Country 94.
And live video streaming of the wrestling. If you can't make it there, Matt 1 and Matt 2, that would be two separate video streams, nckssports.com, via the Beloit Trojan channel. And say it with me. Go Chiefs!
Go Chiefs!
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.